doing some highly illegal things, friends. I've thought it all out, and it seems to be the only way to crack this nut open.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Dan took a deep breath, then... Jane, you can go to the American news media with my information and give them Tamara as your source. That's even the truth, almost.
And I can keep her under my protection in Kyoto, said Nobo.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that the media will take the story, even with Jane promoting it to them.
They'd have to, Jane snapped.
Dan made a lopsided grin. Jane, honey, you've been in politics all your life. You know that the First Amendment guarantees the media the right to broadcast anything they choose to. But it doesn't guarantee that they have to broadcast something they don't want to.
They'd take this story, Jane insisted. One of them would, and then the others would have to follow suit.
Suppose Malik threatens a court injunction. Or the current U.S. president leans on the media executives to bury the story. He's no friend of yours, that imbecile in the White House.
I'll get the story aired, Jane said firmly.
And I'll help you, said Dan.
How?
My way.
She's gone.
Kate Williams lay sleepless on her bed, wondering where her sister was, fearing that she knew.
With Rafe.
Somewhere down on Earth, she's letting that bastard do whatever he wants to her as long as he feeds her whatever crap she's turned onto now. She gripped the sheet so hard that her fingernails cut into her palms painfully.
And I can't do a thing about it. Not a goddamned motherfucking thing. How could she get away from Alphonsus? How could she even get out of her goddamned room without my permission? This whole place is honeycombed with Rafe's people. I thought I was running Astro, but he is, like a puppeteer from a quarter of a million miles away. He's stolen my sister, and now he knows he can make me jump through any hoop he wants, just as long as he promises not to hurt her anymore.
I'll kill him,
she screamed silently for the thousandth time.
If he ever comes within arm's reach of me again, I'll tear his throat out. But he won't come close to me again. He's too smart for that. He knows me too well. Besides, he's got my sister to fuck.
The phone chirped. Kate sat bolt upright and grabbed at the receiver. She kept the room unlit, the video circuit closed.
Katie, did I wake you up?
Kim's voice.
No, she managed to choke out. I was awake anyway.
The delay told Kate that her sister was back on Earth.
I just wanted to let you know that I'm okay. Don't worry about me. Where are you?
She knew what the answer would be, even while her sister's reply made its way to her.
In Italy. It's beautiful here. The beaches are all flooded right now, but the weather's wonderful and we have our own swimming pool.
We?
You're with Rafe?
Did Kim's voice sound slightly blurry? Was she slurring her words? Kate listened hard.
Yes, he's wonderful. He says he sends you love and kisses. You want to talk to him? He's right here. But I can't put on the video because we're both indecent.
Kim giggled like a schoolgirl.
No, Kate said, weary, defeated. I don't need to talk to Rafe. I'm sure that if he has any business to discuss with me, he'll call later. Okay. I just wanted you to know that I'm fine. I'm having a great time.
What are you taking?
The delay seemed longer than before.
Taking? I'm not taking anything. I'm totally clean, Kate, honest.
That's good, she said. Stay that way.
When she hung up the phone, Kate remembered all the other times Kim had sworn she was clean. She always used the same phrase. I'm totally clean, Kate, honest. She dropped back onto the bed, staring up at the ceiling in the dark.
Where are you, Dan Randolph? Why haven't you done anything? You've got to get the bastard. Get him quick before he kills my little sister.
The Philharmonic Hall of Naples, Florida, had seen magnificent performers and illustrious audiences in the past, but never an occasion such as this. To celebrate the 50th anniversary of the spacious, handsome building, the Naples Philharmonic Orchestra combined with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir to gratify the creme de la creme of American society. No vulgar entertainment stars or other pop icons, no artists or authors or politicians. The 1,000 elegant men and women who gathered at the Philharmonic this night were each multimillionaires, tycoons of commerce and industry, civic leaders who earned their lofty places in their communities the old-fashioned way, by buying in. Jane Scanwell was invited not because she was a former president of the United States or the nation's representative on the Global Economic Council. She was invited for the same reason everyone else was, because Texas oil and aerospace money had made her rich. She accepted the gilt-edged invitation to the gala evening not because she had any desire to see or be seen by the leisure class. Jane came to Naples because she knew that the Empress Theodora, head of the largest news network in the world, would also be in attendance. The first half of the show ended with a rousing rendition of Battle Hymn of the Republic. The hall was still ringing with the audience's heartfelt cheers when Jane swiftly left her box seat and managed to be casually strolling past the door to Theodora's box when she opened it and stepped into the corridor. "Theodora," Jane said over the chatter of the crowd pushing past, "how nice!" "Why, Jane," said Theodora with equal sincerity, "I haven't seen you in ages." They fell in step as they went with the flow of the crowd along the plushly carpeted corridor. Theodora was the taller of the two women by an inch or so. She wore a black velvet double-breasted tuxedo jacket over a scoop-necked white silk tank blouse and black velvet slacks. Her ash-blonde hair, usually pulled into a business-like bun, fell to her shoulders in graceful waves. Jane was in a more conventional off-the-shoulder gown of jade green that set off her rich auburn hair beautifully. Both women wore enough jewelry to ransom a kingdom, but in this glittering crowd they were hardly noticed. "I've been trying to reach you at the office," Jane said, maneuvering toward one of the quiet little alcoves off to the side of the corridor. "It's always so hectic there," said Theodora, her voice slightly brittle. The crowd was pushing past them, and she did not like being bumped, even by her peers. "Do you have a minute?" Jane asked, gesturing toward the green marble bench in the alcove. Looking distinctly unhappy at being trapped this way, Theodora turned to the lanky young man behind her and said, "Wally, would you get me a glass of wine, please? Not the champagne, it's awful. White wine." Wally bobbed his head and asked, "And for you, ma'am?" "White wine will be fine," said Jane. They forced their way across the flow of the crowd and sat side by side on the marble bench. "All right," said Theodora, with the air of a patient getting into a dentist's chair. "What is it you want?" Jane made a smile. "I want to hand your network the hottest story of the century." Theodora's brows rose slightly. "Really? You've heard rumors about the greenhouse cliff, haven't you? I've promised the president that my people would not be party to such rumors." "It's more than rumors, Theodora. The GEC is starting a program." "I said I promised the president." "But I know he's not of your party, Jane, but he is the president, and I have promised him that I would keep the lid on this story." Jane could not keep herself from frowning, which brought a smile to Theodora's lips. "Why, from what I understand of it, the GEC itself has asked all the news media to keep quiet for the time being. Are you going against your own counsel?"
"There's more to it than that, Theodora," said Jane. "Much more. The GEC is honeycombed by criminals. This entire effort is being undermined by the International Crime Cartel."
That widened Theodora's eyes. "Are you certain?"
"I wouldn't be telling you this if I weren't certain, and frightened of what might happen."
"How do you know this? I mean, do you have any hard evidence that we could use?"
"Reams of evidence. From Astro Manufacturing.
And if your reporters start digging into other major corporations, they'll find..."
"Astro Manufacturing?" Theodora interrupted. "Isn't that Dan Randolph's company? Didn't the GEC throw him out for cheating or stealing or something?"
"Dan Randolph, yes," said Jane. "His company was confiscated."
"And he's the one producing your evidence?"
"It's from his former company."
"You got it from Randolph himself, didn't you?"
"Yes."
"And you didn't turn him over to the authorities?"
"He's not guilty of anything," Jane said. Theodora's smile turned pitying.
"I've heard rumors for years that you two were hot for each other. Even when he married that Latin American woman, the stories were floating around about the two of you.
That has nothing to do with the current situation, Jane said.